I knew I shouldn't have went to bed so early, but I was just tired and burnt out. It's day three of the Great Race Across Tennessee. Yesterday was my 58th birthday, and I'm kind of like Adam Carolla. Birthdays are like no big deal, really. We make such a big, huge thing about it. It seems like as you get older, people want to make a big thing about it, and some people seem to want to have not just a birthday, but a birthday month. And it's like, hey, you had no control over when your parents decide to have you. And people just kind of get really excited about it, never really understood the whole purpose of it. Carolla actually says you should have like an achievement day. It should be a day that, you know, is important to you, like, you know, the day your first kid's born, or when you graduate from college, or when you land a great job, or whatever, you know, finish your first 5K, first marathon, any of that kind of thing. So make an achievement day instead of just celebrating the day that you were born, because, like I said, you didn't have any control over it. And it's kind of crazy that people get so excited about birthdays when they're really kind of meaningless. And then also just usually set yourself up for disappointment because it doesn't happen to be the day you planned on or hoped for. Myself, we really don't celebrate them too much. I always kind of joke that we're like Jehovah's Witnesses, that we don't really celebrate birthdays. And I'm glad we don't for the most part. It's like midnight on May 3rd. Wide awake, because unfortunately I went to bed like at 8 p.m. Should have played a poker tournament, especially after I got done with my afternoon workout, which was pathetically slow. Just couldn't move. The morning one wasn't too bad. Did 7.5 miles. It's kind of interesting. I both days I did like 70 minutes out and 70 minutes back. I call them ODB, out and backs. And I ended up doing the exact same distance, 7.5 miles. You know, I got to do like 10.5+ miles to do a double crossing of the Tennessee race like I did last year. And so it means putting in a lot of time on my feet. I'm a lot better off than I was last year, because last year, of course, had the fall at the beginning of March, ended up in the hospital at the end of April, didn't really do anything for about 6-7 weeks. So when I was out here trying to get 10+ miles a day, it was taking 4+ hours. It's not taking quite so much, but interesting, I ended up, in the mornings, I'm going quicker than I am in the afternoons. And usually in the afternoons, I feel better, warmed up and been going pretty good, but just been kind of in a funk. And I just think it's kind of chalk it up to age and all those kind of things. I'm in a strange age where, you know, most people my age aren't doing much. And so I spend a lot of time with people in their 30s and 40s. But the thing with 30, 40 year olds is they're busy. They got careers, they got kids, they got spouses. And so a lot of times when you're basically kind of retired like myself, you get a lot of time on your hands and you just kind of like look around and go, wow, what's going on here? And I kind of think about it also, especially as a coach, being a coach, and I think being a successful coach is like being a successful parent, is, you know, you bring people up and then they, you know, can do things on their own, and then they fly out of the nest and you have to just kind of watch them go by, and then you end up with an empty nest. And I think that's kind of what happens with coaching, as long as also with parenting, in that you bring up somebody and spend a lot of time with them, helping them, working with them. And then once they get to a certain level, they're on their own. And you kind of like go, hey, I remember when I used to spend a lot of time with so-and-so, and that person kind of like, oh, I used to spend a lot of time with my kids. Then they became teenagers and, you know, they have not a whole lot of interest in hanging out with you and doing stuff. And that's kind of how it is as a coach. You know, I remember one athlete I was talking to was saying that, yeah, well, you know, you learn from you and then they move on. But also when they don't move on, they sometimes really want to avoid a coach because it just reminds them that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing and how far they've fallen. They kind of look at it and go, wow, you know, I got to this heights when I was with you and now look where I'm at. And then, of course, the ones that are successful, you know, you got to just let them, you know, fly out of the nest, and hopefully maybe occasionally they'll come back to the nest and visit you. But it can be kind of bittersweet, you know. You know you're doing the right thing, you're being successful, but sometimes getting left on the sidelines is a painful or difficult experience, especially as you get older. Of course, I also have myself to blame in that I'm pretty much isolated, not getting out and doing stuff, meeting people, just kind of gotten in this habit, especially with COVID, you know, where you couldn't go out and meet people, and then you don't have races and don't have any of the day-to-day normal things that can go on, so you just kind of end up like not seeing a lot of people, not going anywhere. Like I haven't been in my car in probably a week. because since I'm especially since I'm door dashing, which believe me, I'm glad I'm not door dashing anymore, but I need to start going to meetup groups, club hikes, and start doing more of that, because you got to get active and get out there, or you do get pretty isolated. And especially now that I am doing the Race Across Tennessee, where I got to get 10 plus miles a day, I got to find some people to work out with. It looks like I have my ongoing battle of should I run or not to run. That is the question. My Hamlet moment. Looks like I need to just throw in some running just because it's taking too long to walk. So might do that. Plus, I've got some races coming up, like a 10K in Kingsburg this coming weekend. And if I walk the thing, I know I'm going to be finishing with them rolling out the sidewalks and closing up the finish line and all that kind of stuff, which isn't any fun. And then the following weekend, I have the Judgment Day half. And, you know, I know I can walk it in 3.5 hours for, you know, between 3.5 and 3:45, 16-minute pace. But, again, that's kind of getting close to the cutoffs. And I know I can be competitive and kind of run, walk, and have a much better experience. And so I need to get some training where I can do that. Of course, when I'm running most of these races, I'm always amazed how little training most people do. So I'm thinking, well, you know, if you walk 70 miles a week and don't run at all, you can run in the races. And that's kind of true. I've had some athletes in the past who have done that. They mainly just walk, train, and then run in the races. Of course, I'm always like, why do you run? You're such a fast walker. You know, because they can walk 12, 13-minute miles versus me who can't. But they end up just getting competitive and wanting to run. So, yeah, I'm going to do that. Just kind of throw in some running, I think. I can't go back and forth on it all the time. If you follow me on Strava and those things, looks like one day I'm like, okay, I'm going to run. And then next thing I know, gosh, this running so slow. And so it's just kind of this constant back and forth, back and forth. Want to stay healthy. And so I think, oh, if I only walk, I'll be okay. But then I'm not staying healthy because I'm overusing the walking. And then, of course, my head. So, yep, you know, as I always say, it's, you know, all about staying healthy, being boring. And I need to just stay healthy and be boring, but I need to also mix it up a little bit, I think, because, you know, it's going to be a long summer of over 1,200 miles in 4 months, and I think just walking the whole entire time is going to just drive me kind of nuts.